I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Truss, Billboard's co-director of charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at Billboard.
In New York is where we look at why what's on the charts is on the charts. And our second episode here of 2018, we're back last week and previewed the then pending Bruno Mars, Cardi B, Finesse versus Justin Timberlake filthy battle and how each would do this week. So here we are. We made it to this week and we found out how they did.
We did. We won't spoil it. We'll let you guys, when you hear the top 10 countdown, you will hear where each song finished up. So that'll be coming in just a few minutes. The results, highly anticipated, are going to be there.
Here's a clue as to which one may have done better. We're going to speak with Senior VP of Pop and Rhythmic Promotion for Atlantic Records, John McMahon.
Which is not RCA Records.
All right, we'll leave it at that for now. We're also going to flash back to, where are we flashing back to, Chairman?
We are going to take a spin back to the top of the decade, 2010. There has been a lot of talk about, not this particular song, but the subject of this song in the news media in the past week for a reason that, you know, is not ideal by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, before we do that, one thing I didn't mention last week, but I later did on Twitter, and I feel like it got completely ignored on Twitter. I feel like it's so good, I need to bring it up again.
This better be good, then.
Apparently it isn't, but remember we were talking about how Beyonce and Donald Glover, because they're both going to be in The Lion King in 2019, we said, what if they record a remake of Elton John's Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Maybe it'll be a huge hit. And I missed my chance on the podcast to refer to them as, what's the hashtag I came up with?
I'm not going to say it.
Destiny's Childish Gambino.
Destiny's Childish Gambino. That is, I bet Gary, like, I could see him like waking up in a night terror at 3:15 in the morning because he didn't say it on the podcast last week and it struck him. It's pretty good. Right? I would have never thought of that.
So I looked online. I'm like, this must be a thing. This is so amazing. Someone else must have thought of this. Didn't see anything on Google. I put it out in this tweet. I thought it would become the biggest thing. Here I am saying it again. You can tell what happened.
The Beehive has not quite gotten onto that one yet. But you're an original. There's still time. Someone's going to think of it next June when Lion King comes out. They'll have to, you know, do that research and they'll see that.
Every once in a while, I'll just retweet it going forward, just to kind of subliminally
just to keep it, you know, to stir it up a little bit, keep it in the ether.
All right, let's get to this week's top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Number 10.
Motorsport, put that thing in sports. Shout it bad, pop it like a court. Pop it, you a dork. Never been a sport. Dork, pull up.
Number 9.
No, this ain't clean. What you gonna do with all that meat?
Baby, we Number 8.
It's sad, but it's true. I'm way too good at goodbye.
I'm way too good.
number 7.
Can't blame me for trying. You know I'd be lying, saying you're the one.
Number 6.
Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning.
Number 5.
Fuck with me and get some money. Get some money. Yeah, fuck with me and get some money. Ay. No limit, I'm a fucking soldier. Ay.
Number 4.
Man, I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. Fucking with me, call up on no Uzi.
Number 3. Number 2.
Oh, my heart is in Havana. There's something about his manners. Havana, no. He didn't walk up with that how you
do. And number 1.
Underneath my breath, you heard it. Darling, you look perfect tonight.
All right, first things first, the results officially in of the Finesse Filthy Showdown. As you guys just heard, Filthy, Justin Timberlake coming in at number 9 this week, debuting there, and 6 spots ahead. It is the victor, Bruno Mars, Cardi B, Finesse, jumping from number 35 last week all the way to number 3. But first, we'll talk about actually the number 1 song this week as we dive into that. And speaking of Beyonce, Ed Sheeran's Perfect is number 1 this week for a 6th week on the Hot 100. Notably, though, it is just Ed Sheeran's Perfect. The Beyonce credit has been removed this week. Now, before the Beehive, you know, I can already sense that they're ready to sting and attack. I'm going to explain why that's the case for the past couple of weeks. We've noticed in tracking that the Beyonce duet version has not been contributing, you know, a substantial amount in terms of the sales of the streams for the past couple of weeks. A lot of people are still opting to buy the Ed Sheeran solo version, stream that version. A lot of the radio airplay at most of the major markets and pop formats still opting to play the solo version. So it really was, you know, it is that the solo version is contributing by far the most activity to the song each week. And at this point, you know, it seems like as the Beyonce remix kind of settles down, that, you know, really the credit belongs to the Ed Sheeran version and the Ed version alone.
Yeah, it could seem kind of odd to add an artist for a few weeks and then remove an artist, but it's happened before. Back in 2011, there were a couple examples involving Britney Spears. Rihanna's S&M added Britney for the remix, got to number 1 on the Hot 100 that week, and then Britney had a remix of Till the World Ends with Nicki Minaj and Kesha on that version. So, you know, there are a lot of remixes that are out all the time. They don't always, all the artists on them don't always get credit if they don't make really much of a substantial impact in terms of a song's consumption. But in a case where Beyonce, at the beginning when it first came out, she was contributing to points in different metrics, especially streaming and sales. So made sense to add her at that point. But yeah, after we've seen for a few weeks that she's not on the dominant version at this point, just another one of those instances where we've revised it and she still gets credit for having number 1. She doesn't get that taken away. It's just that going forward, it's back to being just an Ed solo version on all charts except for Rhythmic Songs, where some of that airplay is still notable at Rhythmic. It's being promoted there, so she's staying there, but everywhere else, just Ed.
Yeah, and I mean, for some people, you know, this is why, for example, last year when we saw Despacito with the remix, why Justin Bieber got credit virtually on everything is because the version with Justin Bieber was selling the most, it was being streamed the most, it was being played the most. So obviously, without Justin Bieber, it may not have been that popular, so Justin Bieber needs the credit.
And that remained the dominant version. So to this day, it's in its 52nd week on the Hot 100, Despacito, still featuring Justin Bieber.
Also, one last thing before we get to this week's songs. I guess speaking of songs that are a year old, Ed Sheeran's Shape of You is still on the Hot 100, by right. The way. It's been more than a year since that song debuted at number 1. And somehow, 53 weeks into its chart life, It sits right there at number, let them know, Gary.
Number 22.
Can you believe that? Number, I mean, still a year later, the 22nd most popular song in the country. That is just...
It beat the chart. It beat the rules of the chart by staying up.
I mean,
that's how well it's doing.
That is, I mean, it's flirting with danger, but still, I mean, you know, most songs, I mean, of course, don't even make it 52 weeks on the chart, but just right,
so the rule is if no songs stay on the chart at this point over 52 weeks, unless you're in the top 25, and it's incredibly rare for a song to do that. So it falls 13 to 22. We'll see if it can stay on.
Y'all, it was 13 last week. That's, I mean,
a year old. Yeah.
Look at that. Amazing.
So, yeah. So Shape of You, number 22. Perfect. Number one. Number two, heard it again now for a seventh week, Havana, Camila Cabello. It's the longest peaking at number two hit for a lead female. Got to go all the way back to early 2010 for a Bad Romance, Lady Gaga. Just never could get to number one, peaked at number two for 7 weeks.
Is the featured female, does that include, Wild Thoughts It?
Yep, seven weeks back in the summer. Yeah. For next week, there's still a chance Havana could get to number one. There's a bit of a gap this week between Perfect and Havana. Perfect pretty much maintains its Hot 100 points from last week. Havana's down 8%, but Camila's album is now out. That'll help buzz during the tracking week. The single's on sale for 69 cents. Both songs are gaining in airplay. So, we'll see how it shakes out this week, but maybe this is the last chance Havana has to get to number one, the way that the Finesse is moving. If it can't overtake Perfect in a week when the album came out, maybe it can't another week. This would be the week to watch, I think, coming up, if it's going to happen.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, Camila and team are, I think, gearing up with Never Be the Same as the next single, making some moves on streaming, making some on pop radio. So maybe the same kind of push, like you said, right, last week. I mean, it's on sale at iTunes, so they're definitely aware of the possibility. And which would be so funny, because I think kind of backed off the idea, you know, once it was number two for 5 weeks, and then it kind of settled back down. I mean, it didn't drop out of the sky, obviously, but it seems like it just, the numbers weren't going to add up. And I mean, how great for her next week if she can have her first number one album potentially on the Billboard 200, and the lead single from that album be number one at the same time.
So Filthy, Justin Timberlake, is the other big new song in the top 10, debuts at number 9. So we were saying last week, we didn't know if it was going to hit the top 10, if it might be top 15, but pretty good first week. We'll see how, again, I think, we both said that we were unanimous in two of the guests we had on from KROI in Houston, DJ Riddler and Terry Thomas and Trevor and I, we all said Finesse. Definitely is going to be the bigger hit going forward over Filthy.
And let me tell y'all, Gary is not, Gary's pretty gun shy at calling some of those absolutes. So for Gary to say, pretty definitively this early on that one was going to be the bigger hit, Bruno, what did you do?
Yeah, well, Finesse has just such an obvious hook, and it's got that New Jack Swing sound that sounds fresh again to hear it after so long. And, Filthy is, it's a deep listen, and the more I hear it, the more I get different parts of it, but I just don't know if it's going to connect with a wide pop audience, just because it's kind of odd. It's not a Can't Stop the Feeling. It's a different kind of a song, so... I think a number 9 debut is pretty impressive.
Well, it seems interesting, too, that a lot of people... I mean, to me, it's more of a subdued song. You're right. It doesn't have the same kind of, bouncy energy as Can't Stop the Feeling. It has a more, for lack of a better word, I guess, groove that's a little more understated, a little more undercurrent, which is, I guess, not wholly rare in artists who are pop artists. I mean, you listen to the Taylor Swift album, it kind of had a sort of subdued tone. There was no bouncy energy of Shake It Off. There was nothing big and loud about it. So maybe that's sort of the pop reaction to maybe some of the subdued sounds in hip-hop that we're hearing, and people are getting sort of influenced by that and trying to make it their own. But you're right. I mean, I was listening to the song and trying to picture, what the Super Bowl performance would be like for a song like this. And I can't really tell, how I would see it's, played out on a stage. I'm sure, obviously, it'll be on the set list coming up just in a few weeks. But, I'll definitely be interested to see how this song can sort of recover some of that energy going forward.
What teams do you picture being in their respective locker rooms while Justin Timberlake's performing?
Okay. So my options are the Patriots, the Vikings, the Jaguars, and who's else left?
Eagles.
The Eagles. Well, so it's the Patriots play the Jaguars. So I feel like that's, I mean, why not throw them back in? And the Eagles versus the Vikings.
The Vikings, who, if they win, are hosting the Super Bowl, first time ever.
Oh, that's right.
Home advantage in the Super Bowl.
That is right. Well, you know, then we'll throw out a Hail Mary for Minnesota. They'll be energized. I think Philadelphia's had a pretty good year this year, and a lot of people are excited. My mom is a Philadelphia Eagles fan. So, okay, fine. We'll say the Patriots, and we'll say the Vikings for fun.
All right. If you listen to this podcast, you know where I'm from. You know I don't have a problem with that.
Gary's a Boston boy.
Top 10 for Justin Timberlake. It's his 18th Hot 100 Top 10 solo. He also had 6 as part of NSYNC. And going back to Bruno and Cardi, Cardi gets her 4th Hot 100 Top 10. And Bruno Mars gets his 15th. And great stat, Keith Caulfield, actually, Billboard 200 chart manager, co-director of charts, noticed that Bruno has now had 3 Hot 100 Top 10s from each of his first 3 albums, his first 3 full-length albums. He had an EP first, but...
So if we're going back to... Let's recap them for the people. Okay. Let's go back. Okay, so first album is Doo-Wops and Hooligans, which also lends name, gives him the nice fan army name. First single from that was Just the Way You Are, which was a number one hit on the Hot 100 in late 2010. Followed up with Grenade, which was also another number one hit, around that same time. Then the third top 10 from the album was The Lazy Song, which I almost feel like, it's funny because it kind of feels like, it was at the time felt like a novelty song, kind of right. Like just maybe a good sync commercial kind of song. But I mean, that hit was a top 10 hit. I mean, that was legit on radio. I remember that spring and that summer.
Can't argue because it became a hit, but I always thought it was going to be a single. And I, to this day, I think it should have been a single. I even heard it. You hear it on AC radio once in a while. I heard it a couple
Runaway
years
Baby.
Ago.
No. That's on the other album.
That was the other album, but Marry You.
If you're ready, like I'm ready, because it's a beautiful night.
Marry You.
Would have been a great, right? It feels like it's become a pretty big hit anyway.
Well, you hear it certainly in a lot of weddings. Yeah. I know a lot of people who,
Here's taking us back.
It's a feel-good song.
To the era, the Glee cast covered it at a time when they were only remaking hits. They're actually known hits. So when they did that, it's like, wow, this song has reached a level that...
It's got the Glee stamp of approval.
So those top 10s from that album. On to 2012 for Unorthodox Jukebox.
Yeah, Unorthodox Jukebox.
Juice box. That could be a kids pop version. Unorthodox juice box.
I like it. I'm taking. I'm gonna copyright that and file papers today.
If Destiny's Childish Gambino doesn't work, I've got Unorthodox juice box.
All right. So first single Unorthodox Jukebox was Locked Out of Heaven, which a lot of people had that Police feel to it. Number one on the Hot 100 as well. 6 weeks lodged at the top. Followed up by When I Was Your Man, another kind of middle of the road top 40 AC song, number one hit for a week in 2013. And then the next top 10 off of that, not a number one, but still a top 10 in Treasure, which, it's still a good jam.
Yeah,
and I think Runaway Baby could have also been a good contender for another single there.
Yeah, you talk about The Lazy Song, talk about Treasure, a little deeper in the Bruno catalog. At this point, I think all the number ones you mentioned still seem so top of mind. These other two top fives that didn't get to number one, great songs, but maybe a little more hidden at this point.
I mean, a little bit, and of course, not on an album, but then soon after that, Uptown Funk, which, of course, technically is a Mark Ronson song featuring Bruno Mars, but since Bruno's are the only vocals, that's a song that everyone identifies directly with him. We know how big a hit that was, across every continent, Wake of Life, number one, 14 weeks on the Hot 100, record of the year at the Grammy Awards, top song of 2015 on the Hot 100. So that song feels like probably in a way could overshadow like the whole catalog, but right. Yeah.
And then 24 Karat Magic, title cut number 4, and then That's What I Like number 1. Now he's back in the top 10, the top 5 once again this week. So that's a pretty rare thing to have your first three albums have at least three top 10s each. So we did the research, and that's Bruno's only the 6th artist ever to do that and the 2nd male ever to do that. Got to go back. All the way back.
Now, don't worry, we're not going to count out everybody's top 10 streaks here.
But we'll go back. Early 80s is when it first happened, 1982 to 1986. Lionel Richie. So it's been Lionel Richie and Bruno Mars. Only guys in Hot 100 history ever to start with three solo albums for Lionel after the Commodores that each had at least three Hot 100 top 10s. That's, you know what's cool about this stat? And the other four other women have done so is Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, Beyonce solo, and Lady Gaga. What I really like is this, you can't fake your way onto this list. Sometimes you can be on some record list of, you know, maybe you had a long running number one in a decade, but you know, maybe it was your only hit and it was just, you know, burned quickly. But to be on this list, this is, you have to have consistency over a few years, a bunch of hits. So there's no flukes on this list. All those artists we just mentioned, they're all superstars.
Because baby, they were born that way.
Let's find out more about Bruno Mars this week and Cardi B and Finesse, again, flying 35-3 on the Hot 100. Let's get some inside details and background about how it came to be, what's coming up with Bruno and Cardi B both, and also Ed Sheeran, everybody on Atlantic Records, number one this week. What's ahead for Ed Sheeran? What's coming up with the Grammys for Bruno and Cardi? We'll get into it all with Senior VP of Pop and Rhythmic Promotion for Atlantic Records, back on the podcast, John McMahon.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, Trevor? How you doing, man?
Doing pretty well. How about yourself?
We're off to a great start so far this year.
I know.
So,
we are gonna.
2017 was good to us, and 2018 seems to continue the the trend.
All right, let's get into it, John. So, 2018 continuing, kind of like how 2017 was for so much of the year, with Atlantic all over the top of the Hot 100. Perfect is number one for a 6th week this week, Ed Sheeran. And the big news, Finesse jumps 35-3, Bruno and Cardi. Just wanted to get some of the backstory from you, John. First of all, how did the remix come about? What do you know about how this song that had been out for a year solo on Bruno's album, suddenly Cardi's on it? Suddenly it's a top 3 hit at the moment on the Hot 100.
Well, Bruno, you know, coming off of 24 Karat and That's What I Like, you know, really liked having these big up-tempo hits. I mean, he likes hits in general. He's made plenty of ballad monster hits over his career. But, you know, Bruno loves to dance and dances his ass off and just is such an incredible performer to these tempo kind of songs. He had talked about Finesse from early on in the first phase of the album, you know, and as the singles got released, he always thought, hey, maybe I can get to Finesse as a single. And as the year kind of capped out, we wanted another Bruno single out there. He wanted to be, you know, continuing the reign of 24 Karat Magic with his fans. And he was really starting to fall in love with this, you know, phenom Cardi B as she broke off of Bodak Yellow, and came up with the idea of, hey, look, she's on fire. She's a great compliment to, you know, who I am as an artist with this song. Let's see if it could work. So he went in the studio with her, and, you know, Bruno is the consummate perfectionist, producer extraordinaire, worked out, you know, verses and everything that he does as a producer in the studio with her. And they just happened to, you know, not unexpectedly nail it. And so he loved what she had done for the remix of Finesse, and she loved it. And we came back out of the holidays knowing that we were going to drop this, and it was obviously a big, you know, it was a secret. We weren't to talk about it, but we were all anticipating a great response out there with the fans and with radio, and we certainly got that. So that's kind of how it went down. Bruno just fell in love with her and said, let's try it, and the rest is history so far.
I think one of the most unique things about it is you're bringing back a New Jack Swing, which instantly sounds familiar, but it's been so long since we've had anything on the radio that truly sounds like it came out of the 90s. But, you know, fresh, new hook. It's a great song on its own, but haven't heard a song that sounds like this in a really long time. It's become such a big hit.
The Bell Biv DeVoe kind of like horn stabs, and the drums are, you know, absolutely, you know, vintage 1990s, you know, R&B. Early hip hop, you know, early R&B hip hop. And, you know, Bruno's had an incredible career at being, you know, influenced by some of the legends and an incredible, you know, ways that R&B and rock and roll and pop music have weaved their way through, you know, chart history. And, you know, I remember hearing him in an interview, I think it was on 60 Minutes. When he said, you know, people were like, hey, you know, that sounds like it's from that song. It sounds like Michael or James Brown's influence in that. And on 60 Minutes, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, yeah, it kind of does. It comes from James Brown. It comes from Michael Jackson. Uh-huh. It comes from Prince. Yes. Thank you. That's what it's supposed to sound like, you know, because those are probably the three biggest influences he has said in his career. So, you know, emulating something from the past and having it influence your style of songwriting and your style of production is, I guess, you know, a form of homage to some of the great music that Bruno grew up with. And I think that this continues that trend.
Well, and not just Bruno. I think one of the cool things that I was really excited about was when I heard Cardi's part on it, because, you know, it's funny how many different sides of Cardi B are coming out. We know on the Ozuna song that she actually is singing really more than she's rapping. But with this, I mean, the flow that she produced was so in line with that 90s vibe. It was, you know, more of an MC Light kind of thing. I mean, obviously Bodak Yellow and a lot of these current songs are maybe a little more harder. But for her to kind of match that 90s flow of the rap with that sound, I thought was really impressive.
It's funny because a lot of people have said to me, and I've heard it said to others, that it sounds like Finesse was made for her. It's like he went in and, you know, reproduced a lot of the track and some of the production, and obviously certainly with her verse and all her ad-libs and stuff in the second half of the song, it was reproduced from that aspect. But it really does sound like they had this vision all along, and that Bruno was planning for this to happen, you know, because she sounds, like you said, it sounds like it was made for her. And then with that 90s, you know, throwback vibe, for sure, his brilliant idea on the video being, you know, a nod to the great classic 90s show In Living Color, that really kind of capped it, you know, to bring it together. The musical style, her flow with a throwback sound, and then to have that that video with a In Living Color, you know, aesthetic, really kind of was just this total brilliance.
One of our readers, John, suggests that Bruno and Cardi perform the song at some point with Belle Biv DeVoe. So I'm passing that on to you. You could make it happen.
Well, whether or not Belle Biv DeVoe performs it with them, the great news is that on January 28th, they'll be performing it together on the Grammy Awards. And that's going to be an event.
Are they going to be opening the show by chance?
That I can't talk about, and I honestly don't know. But if I did know, I wouldn't talk about it. but, you know, Bruno has a way of just murdering it on the Grammy Awards. I mean, there's multiple occasions that we can think back on. You know, obviously, most notably the last one where he performed and then did the Prince tribute, you know. And that was something that, you know, I guess stole the show for a lot of people. Certainly Prince fans, Bruno fans, and I think, you know, fans of music in general. But, you know, I can only imagine, like, the dance routine that Bruno's going to concoct and, you know, that Cardi's going to get out there and spit her game, and the two of them together, I'm sure, is going to be, you know, something that everyone will be talking about the next day.
But yeah, I mean, to that point, we saw last year with That's What I Like, I mean, exploding after the Grammy Awards. They gave it kind of that last push it needed to move up to number one. Finesse, obviously, only two spots away, so it could get there on its own beforehand, but I'm sure after Grammy week, that'll be definitely one of the big ones to watch.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's, you know, let's see what he walks away with off the show, because he's nominated for, you know, six Grammys for this upcoming show, and, you know, in some of the, you know, the big three categories as well. So Bruno is, you know, I gotta imagine, I don't want to jinx it at all, because you never know what's going to happen. Anything can happen when it comes to, you know, the voting and when it comes to the winners. So we don't want to at all predict it, but we're cautiously optimistic that Bruno's going to do his thing and bring some more of those Grammys home. And yeah, I mean, the guy has had an unbelievable year. 2017, obviously, it started in late 16, you know, with 24 Karat Magic single launching, and then the album, and then, you know, all the awards and accolades he's gotten this year that are just unreal. You know, at radio dominating, you know, That's What I Like was number two most played song of the year, you know, at pop and at rhythm and on the overall, you know, just everywhere. I mean, every format played him. It was one of the few songs and artists of the year that, you know, just was pop and rhythm and hot AC and urban AC and AC. I mean, just really from A to Z, had fans at every format and every walk of life.
So the song that's Finesse is looking to dethrone atop the Hot 100, still there for a sixth week. This week, Ed Sheeran, Perfect, and it had the Beyonce remix, the Andrea Bocelli version, and these all came out, you know, about a year, almost, after the album Divide had been out. So you take that Finesse, and we sort of have a trend here of songs that had been out for about a year getting new remixes, both becoming huge hits, both on Atlantic Records. Is this a related trend? Did it just happen to be that both of these remixes, Beyonce and Cardi B, wound up reviving these album tracks? Or is this something that you and Atlantic Records are looking at and saying, how do we keep albums, songs fresh in a streaming era? Once it comes out, everyone can listen however they want, but you want to keep putting out singles. Is this a new strategy in terms of streaming now, that you want to bring on remixes at this point?
You know, it's not really a strategy per se. I mean, both of these artists, you know, it was their brainchild to do these mixes. It was never, you know, an Atlantic, you know, strategy that, like you just, you know, kind of speculated on, to continue the streams or the success of an album project. It's really, you know, the story behind Bruno, you know, as I mentioned, was just his, you know, thought that, hey, at this moment right now with this new artist and my song that's been out, I have a vision for it and let me try it. And it worked. And on Ed, you know, he's, you know, become very, you know, good friends with Beyonce and obviously her husband Jay-Z. And, you know, they performed at a Stevie Wonder tribute on Grammy week a couple of years ago. And as a result of that, having performed together, you know, and having this friendship strike up, they thought, hey, maybe at some point we could collaborate. And, you know, she's such a iconic artist and singer and songwriter, performer, and, you know, admired Ed and his music and his career. And he certainly has been a massive fan and had, you know, so much love and respect for Beyonce in her career that, you know, through their, you know, kind of like not thinking about album projects and not thinking about extending the life of, you know, his songs, you know, a year after its release, he just ended up asking her, and he did tell the story I overheard once that, you know, he was going to ask her while she was pregnant with the twins, and he felt bad, and he thought, you know, is it a good time to ask? And at some point, he ended up just asking because they do have a close friendship. And she said yes, and he said, you know, obviously you can't do it now. You're pregnant with the babies, but when you can, you know, I'll come to you, you come to me, wherever we need to go. Let's get in the studio and, you know, do something really magical to perfect. And they nailed it. Her vocals and her, you know, emotion on it, you know, really kind of cut through. And they went back in the studio. It wasn't like some studio tricks where, hey, you send me the files and I'll send you the parts and then, you know, an engineer will mix it down. They actually, you know, came to New York and they went in and actually re-recorded it. And, yeah, not really a strategy. It was just two great artists deciding to come together and make great music.
Can you tell us, John, next single for Ed? Is there another single coming from Divide?
Yeah, the plan right now is for Happier, which is a beautiful, powerful, you know, ballad on Divide that, you know, has become a fan favorite. And, you know, Ed would like, I believe, that to be the next single. So unless something changes, that's kind of the direction that he's going to be going.
Going to double ballad it up?
Yeah. I mean, hey, look, great music is great music. You know, I think that sometimes you can get a little too strategic and you say, hey, we're going to go tempo, then we're going to go ballad. Then we're going to go tempo, then we're going to go ballad. I think the bottom line is, especially with an artist that is as massively successful as Ed is right now, that it's not really about sticking to one lane at radio or with his fans. It's just, let's put out the next, another great song from Ed Sheeran, and the fans will, I'm sure, make up their minds. And, you know, he's almost never been wrong. So if he wants Happier, then that's what it is. And we have high confidence that the fans will love it just as much as they have everything else from this album.
Any idea when that would go to radio, John?
It would be, you know, sometime early spring. Because Perfect is still on a, you know, upward trajectory. Having gone number one this week at Pop and Hot AC and even top 20 at Rhythm, it is going nowhere. I mean, you know, it's still number two on iTunes and number one Shazam 13 weeks in a row. And, you know, we don't see it with any kind of, you know, decline anywhere soon. So hopefully that will take us through, you know, February and into March. And at some point, you know, in that part of like the late winter, early spring, we can think about rolling out to radio with Happier.
Well, one more thing. People talk about finesse. Absolutely. That's about five or six songs from Cardi B now that we've got in the past couple months. People are going to be wondering, when is that first album coming? Do you have any update on the timeline or anything like that?
We don't have a specific date narrowed down yet. Yeah, she's had like one of the most meteoric rises to like, you know, bordering on superstardom this quick I've ever seen.
Yeah, you could throw up maybe as far back as Lady Gaga, probably the last person who came out so quick, so hot, so continuous, really.
Yeah. I mean, it is pretty remarkable that she's had that rise with Motorsport and Bodak Yellow. Obviously started it, and then No Limit is massive, and Finesse, and now, you know, Bardi Cardi. I mean, she really literally is six for six in terms of insane heat and streaming and sales and YouTube views and radio airplay. So we haven't narrowed down when that album's going to be, but, you know, in the not too distant future, you know, she'll drop it. And I don't think I've ever seen another artist this set up before an album drops. A new artist. It's pretty almost unprecedented.
Well, congratulations, John. Continued success. This is becoming a regular thing. I don't think you mind that we keep asking you to come back on with all the latest chart feats you guys keep having. We'll keep doing it.
Yes, let's hopefully plan on doing one in the spring. Yeah. If things continue like this, we appreciate the opportunity, and you know, we love the fact that you guys, you know, care about the stats and the behind the scenes and the stories that go into making these projects and these great albums.
Baby, you look happier, you do. My friends told me one day I'll feel it too. And until then I'll smile and hide the truth. That I know I was happier with you. Hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah. Sat in the corner of the room.
A little bit of Happier by Ed Sheeran.
Maybe coming to a radio near
yeah,
you.
Yeah, sounds like it's the next single from Divide.
Who could be on the Happier remix?
Ed and Cardi, would that work? Is that a little too much of a stretch?
I mean, well, we heard Cardi sing on the Ozuna song, so
yeah,
you know, never doubt her. Keep the money in house too.
And I like the idea of could happen, right? Maybe at some point, Bell Biv DeVoe performing Finesse with Bruno and Cardi. Not I think maybe the Grammys.
I like how sold you are on Bell Biv DeVoe.
I just think it'd be kind of cool. It's there. You could do a great mashup with Poison.
Yeah, right? I mean, Bruno can make any mashup work really. So yeah, it would be. I mean, that feels like it's a very, either like a Grammy or like a BET Awards. Like that's a performance for one of those two places.
There comes a time when we hit a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying.
Oh, when it's time. Lend a hand to life,
the greatest gift of all. We can't go on.
And we mentioned Lionel Richie a little bit earlier in the podcast, talking about how he was the first artist to have 3 top 10 hits from each of his first 3 solo albums. And during that stretch between 1982 and 1986, he actually co-wrote one of the best-known charity anthems that really, you know, the world has ever seen. We Are the World, which he co-wrote with Michael Jackson, a huge hit in 1985, number 1 for 4 weeks on the Hot 100, wins Record and Song of the Year Grammy Awards, and raises millions of dollars for famine relief in Africa. So, I mean, a huge hit that brought together so many huge superstars of the 1980s. The song was updated in 2010, We Are the World 25 for Haiti, to raise money and bring awareness to you know, all the terrible suffering that happened after the earthquake in early 2010 in Haiti. Kind of wanted to bring attention to this song again. We know Haiti has really been in the news in the past week and a half, based on some alleged comments by President Trump. Unfortunately, that have, as with most things that President Trump has said, divided people hugely, and there's been reports that he did say it, didn't say it. But just because the country really has been brought about so much in the news, wanted to bring up this song. And remember one time when, you know, the world and all Americans really came together to support a song that really helped out the people of Haiti when they desperately needed it?
Yeah, Wyclef Jean, who was pretty central to this remake. Yeah, I think this pretty much... this says it all. He tweeted in the past week the Declaration of Independence, an image, and he said, "We are all sons and daughters of immigrants." It sounds like something worth remembering at this point.
We can all get behind. And yeah, I mean, of course, you know, I mean, Haitian Americans, you know, continue to contribute to this country in so many ways. And of course, you know, in their time of need, you know, it's great to see the music industry, like you said, and Wyclef really leading the charge, Lionel Richie involved with this as well. I mean, Quincy Jones, you know, back producing so many, a good number of the artists who were on the original track back in 1985 contributing as well.
Right.
Unfortunately, you know, 2010, Michael Jackson had passed on, but Janet handling duet vocals with Michael over the hook of the song, and a lot of the other Jacksons involved as well.
With young Justin Bieber.
I said Justin Bieber taking over Lionel's part at the beginning of the song. And, you know, I mean, just so great to see, especially the, I mean, embracing rap. They added the new rap verse to the song in the middle of it. So just, you know, always great to see that no matter what, music, as we've seen so many times, not just in this example, but even last year with all the events in Manchester and Las Vegas and such, that musicians really are always willing and able to be on the front line to help people when they need it.
Yep, we figured with this one, let's just go back to a time when that was the overriding feeling.
Yeah, when Haiti was not a controversial word, apparently, or a controversial place.
All right, so we'll play that on the way out here of the podcast, and that's this week's show. We'll see what happens next week on the Billboard Hot 100. If Perfect is number one for a seventh week, the way Finesse is moving, certainly could challenge for number one. Or if Camila Havana gets its way in to number one with the album debuting, should be a pretty good battle for number one. So we'll look at all that next week. And Grammy Awards, we're going to get deeper into the Grammy Awards. It'll be our Grammy preview podcast. Really special guest too, Paul Grine, coming back on the Billboard Sharpie podcast. He was our very first guest a couple of years ago, and main reason for that, Paul Grine started the Billboard Sharpie column back in 1981. So
we would not exist without him.
He's the father of Chartbeat and a really big Grammy aficionado as well. So he loves predicting the Grammys every year, talking about them. So we're going to have him on and preview all things Grammy Awards on next week's podcast.
And in particular, and you know, a lot of people are going to be, I mean, this year, the Grammy nominations caught a lot of people by surprise, especially in a lot of the big categories. So we'll see, you know, if that has thrown Paul off a little bit and trying to predict what's going on and, you know, what other surprises we can expect from a year that really hip hop is set at least to show up and show out.
All right. Here's Michael Jackson and everybody else. We are the World 25 on the Billboard Chappie podcast.
Perfect family, and it's true, you know, love.